1 Kings chapter 16, if you'll stand with me, we'll begin reading verse number 28 and down through verse number 33 of 1 Kings chapter number 16. We'll begin in verse 28. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonites, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to examine a couple, dear God, tonight. That's, Lord, just the opposite. I mean, the antithesis of everything that we would hope to be and want to be and what our young people to grow up to be, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn and, Lord, be warned. And Lord, as we see, dear God, you allowing them to rise to a position of power, the things that they did, the things they committed, the way that they hurt their nation. And then, Lord, of course, dear God, eventually, Lord, their demise and your judgment that comes into the life of all those, Lord, that believe that they can do wickedly without consequence. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to learn some great lessons tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This isn't always true, but I would like to introduce you to the father of Ahab and the father of Jezebel. Because as you're going to see, the nut didn't fall very far from the tree in either instances. Let's start with Ahab. Who was Ahab's father? Well, his father's name was Omri. And he inherited the throne, took the throne from his father. If you back up just a handful of verses in verse number 23, the Bible says, in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill, Samaria. Notice this, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. And he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, in his sin, wherein he made Israel to sin to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. And so his father was at this point, up to this point, had set the world record for wickedness when it came to the king of Israel. And he had a little boy that was raised watching that. And that little boy grew up and said, you know what? He may have been the worst king so far, but I think I can outdo him. And he outdid him. Isn't it sad that it says of Omri that he wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him? And yet when we read about Ahab in verse number 30, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him, including his dad. And so that's the heritage, that's the upbringing, that's the example that was before Ahab. And then if you look at Jezebel, we're introduced to her in verse number 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now, he said his dad, he walked in the ways of Jeroboam, committed his sin. And Jeroboam, of course, is the one that rose up to golden calves and told the Israelites, the 10 tribes, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to go there to worship. You just have to come here. Worship these calves. These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. And it was bad enough that Omri did that. But Ahab said, well, I'm going to do better than that. We are going to worship those false calves. And he did. And tried to get the people to do it. But then he looks around for a bride. And he finds a girl being raised in the home of Ethbaal, king of the Zidians. Now, Ethbaal, if you look at that name, just look up the definition of that name. It means a man who stands with Baal, or the one with Baal. So he takes on the very title of the fact that he has given his life and dedicated his life to the worship of a false god named Baal. And this is Jezebel being raised in this situation. And so you've got Ahab being raised in a toxic situation, an anti-God, anti-Christ situation. You've got Jezebel even being raised in a worse one situation than he was. And guess what? Let me get to the first point of the message, the first thing I want us to learn tonight. Two evil people found each other and together reached new levels of debauchery. Two evil people found each other. Now, this is the case where if we were talking in the language of the book of Proverbs, we'd say the evil man has married the strange woman. That's what we would say. Ahab, the worshiper of Jeroboam's golden calves, marries Jezebel, the worshiper of Baal, brings her in, plants a grove, and sets up Baal worship, and becomes a worshiper of Baal himself alongside his wife. What do you think about that? Now, what about this matter of Baal worship? What was that, preacher? Who's Baal? Well, let me just read you a little history so you'll know a little bit about how wicked this was. And by the way, most of the studies into the false gods of the Canaanites, let me just kind of caution you and say this. I would study that lightly. You don't need all the information. Tonight, I could not give you all the information. Okay, and not just because there's children here, not just because there's teenage here, because there's human beings here. There's some things that no Christian needs to hear about, no Christian needs to know. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. False worship and false God worship will take you to the very depths of immoral behavior. I mean, false worship, listen, if you worship Jesus Christ, he'll allow you to become a son of God. I'm going to tell you something. If you worship a false god, it'll take you back to being an animal. And listen, be careful. Be careful walking away from the Lord. Because you just don't know what kind of depths you could end up in. What kind of things you can begin to justify in your mind. But I'll give you an overview. This worship of Baal, according to the Canaanite mythology, Baal was the son of El, the chief god, and Asherah, the goddess of the sea. So he was the offspring of these two other false gods. Baal was considered the most powerful of all gods. The Canaanites worshiped Baal as the sun god and as the storm god. Get this. He's usually depicted holding a lightning bolt, the sun god and the storm god. Now you think about that. Remember the encounter on Mount Carmel? And they were crying out to what god? The god of the storm, the god of the lightning bolt. Didn't show up, did he? The creator of the lightning bolt showed up, you know. But that's who they're worshiping. They worshiped him as a fertility god who helped provide children. Baal worship was rooted in sensuality and involved ritualistic prostitution in the temples. At times, appeasing Baal required human sacrifice, usually the firstborn of the one making the sacrifice. The priests of Baal, and we read about this in 1 Kings 18, appealed to their God in rites of wild abandon, which include loud cries and self-inflicted injury. And you remember the worshipers of Baal throwing themselves on the altar, tearing down the altar that Elijah had built. He had to rebuild. They went over and destroyed that altar, threw themselves on the altar, basically saying, I'm on the altar, send the fire, kill me, send the fire. Took rocks and started cutting themselves. And I want to say this. I don't say this to hurt anybody. I know people have things in their past that they're not proud of. But some things are not spoken that needs to be said. Okay, this thing that's going on, and it's an epidemic in our young people. I say our young people, but this generation of young people where they've gotten into cutting themselves. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit of God has never told a Christian to take a sharp object and to cut themselves. That doesn't come from God. Isn't it interesting that the worshipers of Baal are the ones that begin to do this self-destructive behavior? And I want you young people to be very cautious about it. We've had to deal with that some, even in our ministry here. And let me say this. And by the way, I wouldn't hurt anybody that's involved with it. And a lot of these kids have got on the other side and they're good kids. But I want you to listen to me, young people. I have never dealt with that. sin, where once we peeled back the layers, that young person did not get into listening to some wrong kind of music, some demonic music, on demonic websites, sneaking around on you know, the internet's become the devil's playground. Now, if you want to go play on the devil's playground, I don't understand this thing about surfing the web. I understand from time to time it can be used as a tool, not a toy. And you can very specifically go on there to find a piece of information and then get off. Now, this idea of just sitting in front of a computer and just clicking buttons and just see where this leads and that leads, I mean, you're completely out of your mind. By the way, I don't care if you're an adult. I said you're out of your mind. Okay, if moms would stop doing it, maybe kids wouldn't be tempted to do it. If dads would stop doing it, maybe kids wouldn't do it. Okay, I mean, folks, come on now. There's a handful of good on there, amen. And there's a lot of debauchery. There's a lot of wickedness. And you know what? The devil's behind this stuff. You start playing around with demonic things, and you start opening doors into your life through music, through the things you're reading, the things, listen, there are some things you should not be playing, but how many of you were on the missions trip with me? Raise your hand, good and high, come on. And you heard Brother Nez's testimony. If you sit and listen to that and you weren't soundly warned about the dangers of listening to rock and roll music, you're telling me this is still a church that preaches against rock and roll music? You better believe it is. It's spawned in the pit of hell. Okay? And we're not old fogies that just don't like your new music. We just don't like bad music. Amen. And what I'm saying is this, wake up. You start, I mean, some of you are playing around with it right now. You have no ideas the doors you're opening. By the way, how's your attitude? How's your relationship with your mom and dad? By the way, how much are you enjoying this message right now? I'm not the problem, sissy. All right, sissy. Peacock. Amen. We haven't got to the good stuff. What happened? What? All right, I'm going to explain something to you. Okay, some of you young people are going to love this. Some of you are going to hate it. That's why I like to do it. Amen. Jezebel, Ahab, found each other. He's at this height of wickedness. She's at this height of wickedness. They find each other and they go together to this height of wickedness. This is two evil people, two bad people that found each other, latched on. You know what drove them together? Yeah. The thing they had in common was their love of evil, their love of wickedness, their hatred of God and the things of God. Same thing that drives kids together at a teen camp. I mean, you know, you can take kids to the teen camp and you know what? They can come from all kinds of different states and all kinds of different churches. And if you've got one or two bad apples, by the end of the first day, they've all found each other. Okay. Now, listen to me. You're going to attract what you are. You get backslid, you get away from God, you get a bad spirit about you, you get a rebellious spirit to get about you. You know what you're going to attract? You are going to attract somebody that's like you. And let me tell you what you need to do. All right, here's the preacher giving you advice. I'd be real wise right now to say, I think I'll set aside my pride and my arrogance and my stubbornness, and I think I'll just listen and obey my preacher right now. You need to get to an altar. You need to get right with God. You need to get clean. You need to get rid of the junk and the music that you're listening to and the bad crowds you're hanging around. And get thoroughly right with God. Clean, I mean burn all the bridges. I mean do it publicly. I mean call every one of them and say, this is the last phone call I'll ever make to you. I'm going with God. I'm going strong. Because see, watch this. Then all of a sudden you become the type of a young person that's also going to attract what you are. Okay? And there's no secret that spiritual kids tend to end up marrying spiritual kids. And that evil kids end up marrying evil kids. But let me say this also. By the way, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad. If you're just bent on not serving God and you can't wait to get old enough where you can become an enemy of the church and an enemy of the cross, then please marry a pagan. Because you deserve each other. Don't mess up a decent kid. I'm about to help some parents. Some of you, you're winging a prayer on one of your kids is this, Lord, I know they're rotten and rebellious, but Lord, if they could just marry a good kid. That's not even right to pray. Okay, nobody they're going to marry is going to pull them out of that. I mean, if two good kids find each other, yay. If two kids that are just bent on living an anti-God life find each other, sorry, but yay. Pop the popcorn, it's going to be a good show. I mean, these two little know-it-all that can't stand God is going to go do their thing and no one's telling them. I mean, just, man, the next 10 years are going to be worth watching. Listen, that's reality TV, man, right there. Just, God's going to take them to the woodshed. You're going to find out by watching this couple where that ends up. Now, here's what it is a bad situation. Sometimes there's a pretty good girl. What is it with you good girls that gets attracted to low life? Bad boys. Let me take you down to the ladies' shelter. When those bad boys decide they're going to turn around and do this to you and not stop. And to your children. You got you a bad boy. Come on. Come on. Okay, yeah, but I'm going to change him. You're not going to change him. If God can't change him, you're not going to change him. Or sometimes it's a good guy. And there's this girl. And you know what? She's the damsel in distress. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I told a young man, and years ago you wouldn't know who it was. One of our boys, and I mean back in the early 90s, late 90s, middle 90s. I have no idea. Somewhere in the 90s. He started chasing this girl. And she's pretty much a train wreck. But she knew how to play the damsel in distress. Oh, nobody understands me. And my life is just so hard. And, you know, every guy kind of has this thing where we want to rescue them. And I bring this boy in my office. And I said, son, is God calling you to be a missionary? He said, I don't think so. I said, if you want to be a missionary, go to the mission field. Don't marry a missionary project. Now I'm trying to help you. What's the answer? The answer is, let me take my pagan kid and hook him with a good kid, because let me tell you what's going to happen there. All right, if I've got a kid that is healthy and I got a kid that's got the flu, I send the healthy kid over to set with them because that way this one can catch good health. Oh, but I'm just trying to help them and nobody understands them, and you are so simple. No, the problem is we do understand them. Okay, you know what? You know what? It needs to stop being bad, bad kids. They won't come hang out with my pagan. And it needs to start being mom and dad. Let's get on our knees and beg God. God changes the heart of our pagan so that they can get themselves in a position where God can reward them with the right kind of wife or the right kind of husband. That is good. That is good. All right? But these two people, boom, they found each other. They're there. And so what happens as a result? I'll read a verse that summarizes it, 1 Kings 21:25. But there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Now, wives, listen to me. You're going to do one or two things for your husband. You're going to stir him up to righteousness, or you're going to stir him up to wickedness. You can be that person that encourages them to stay in church, or you can be the person that's got to come home every week and gripe about something until he just finally says, all right, I'm tired of hearing about it. We'll just stay home. Come on, ladies. We're talking about the home, right? Okay, you are stirring your husband up to something. You're stirring him up. You're pouring gas on the fire of his desire to serve God, or you're pouring cold water on it. And same thing, by the way, husbands, you know what? They stirred each other up. And you know what? You can help your wife spiritually, or you can hurt her spiritually. So here's two. Number one, two EV people found each other and reached new levels of debauchery. Number two, for over 30 years, Ahab and Jezebel seemed to get by with their wickedness. What kind of wickedness, preacher? Well, let's just look at a few verses. 1 Kings chapter 18, let's go there. This is the chapter where they end up on Mount Carmel. But let's just see what Ahab's about and what Jezebel's about. In chapter 18, verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so, here it is, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord. You know what that means? She's killing God's prophets. By decree, she's killing them. She's having them hunted down to the point where Obadiah took 100 prophets, had to hide them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. This woman, how wicked does it get? Listen, watch this. Here's the thing. No one ever gives themselves over to Baal and is just satisfied with saying, I'm just going to worship Baal. See, you give your life to the devil, he's going to enlist you as part of his force against right and against truth and against good and against God. You know, I've often said, and this we said it the other day when we were talking, Brother Chad, you know, it'd be one thing if somebody just got mad, backslid, wanted to go to the world, wanted to go to the devil, walked out and did it. But what do they immediately start to do? They turn around and start attacking the very church that warned them about going the way of the devil. And so this woman wasn't happy just saying, okay, well, you want to worship Jehovah God? That's fine. We're over here worshiping Baal. God bless you. No. The worship of wrong and a commitment to do wrong causes you to have to attack right and those that are doing right. And that's exactly what happened here. 30 years. So here she is. She's killing preachers. How about verse number 17? He's making false accusations against the man of God. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Unbelievable. This wicked king, the first time he sees God's man, God's prophet, the first thing out of his mouth is that false accusation that you're the one causing all the trouble in Israel. Who was causing the trouble in Israel? Who was leading the people into false worship? Okay, it was Barack and Michelle. I mean, it was... wrong story there. I'm going to say, preacher, you didn't mean to say that. Oh, I planned this. Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm not stopping now. No. I just put the turn signal on so you know what exit we're getting off on, all right? Folks, listen to me. We had Ahab and Jezebel in the White House. We had them in the White House. I knew Kyle would walk out and get mad about this, but I don't care. I'm going to preach it anyway. You can always find those Barack supporters. You bring this up and... pinched his kid on the leg so that he could walk out of here. You know. Think about it, folks. This man didn't even pretend to be a closet Muslim. Okay, they brought in Baal, and for 8 years, you know what they did? They said, we're going to point you to a, hey, Christian nation, hey, Christian America, let us introduce you to another God. Let's cancel the National Day of Prayer, where we pray to the true God. And let's start in a very public manner bringing all the Muslims into the White House and celebrating every one of their holy days, which are unholy days. And listen, there's no difference here. Not only that, let's do everything we can to pass every law that profanes and blasphemes the principles of God's word. And by the way, isn't it interesting? We talk about perversion It's always connected with false worship. Wasn't it that last president that when the Supreme Court legalized it, made it legal for homosexuals, not lawful, but legal. I was careful what I always say there. It's not lawful. A law has never been passed. Circumvent the Constitution. Isn't it our president that, you know, there's supposed to be separation of powers here. How did he know what they were going to decide? How did he know to the point where he had all of the lights in rainbow colors rigged up around? There goes another one right there. There goes another one right there. I knew it. There's another one. I'm telling you, I'm going to empty this place out tonight. It's all right. I'm preaching it. Man, I didn't think it'd be Jeffrey, though. Wow, man. It's all right. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Elijah stood up against 850 prophets of Baal. I can handle a couple of, I think he had a gun. I'm kind of watching, but. Rigged up so that they could flip it on. The eve that they passed that, they turn on the lights. And you think about the wickedness of this. They light up our White House in rainbow colors. And you don't think the God of the universe didn't look down and see that? Oh, but preacher, ever since they got by with it for 8 years, and now he goes around and charges $500,000 for a speech, and they've got their pension, and they've got the Secret Service, and they've got the escorts, and they're living the life, and that's what happened for Ahab and Jezebel, and for Omar. Listen, he was king for 22 years. 22 years! Jezebel, 30 years! It seems like she's getting away with it. I want to say this to encourage God's people. You turn on the TV and you listen to these people and you listen to some of the wickedness and you listen to people blaspheme God. And a lot of time it's people that's got money and prestige and power. And you think, where's God? Where's God? Oh, he's right where he's always been. I mean, you know what? Folks, he stands on the throne of the universe. He spoke this thing into existence. You think he's impressed when he looks down on earth and there's a little speck of a person that stands up and shakes his fist at God and announces what he's going to destroy and what he's going to change and all of this stuff? You think God's bothered at all by that? He's seen them come. He's seen them go. Okay, here they are. They're killing God's prophets. Well, why does God let them get by with that? Because a day... In the Lord's eyes, the day is at 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day. I mean, 30 years is nothing for him. That's a drop in a bucket of time. I mean, he stands and the Bible doesn't say that he is a time traveler. He's a time dweller. He inhabits eternity. He inhabits eternity. Now think about that. Okay? He inhabits eternity. He didn't always exist, and he will always exist. He still always exists and will always exist. Okay. Well, how do you know that God's not going to get it wrong at the judgment seat? And maybe he'll forget that I was saved, because the same God that's looking at you at the judgment seat is the same God that's looking at you get saved. I can't even comprehend this, preacher. I know. Aren't you glad you got a God you can't comprehend? By the way, when we're in heaven celebrating forever what Jesus Christ did, listen to me, there's a part of Almighty God that still and forever will be looking at his Son being made sin for us who knew no sin. We'll have all of our tears will be wiped away. All that's going to be gone for us. God will forever watch his Son holler out to him, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he inhabits eternity. So you know what? The same God that's watching what happened in the White House for the last 8 years is the same God that's still watching Ahab and Jezebel. And you know, he's not worried about anybody getting away with anything. He's got the past under control. He's got the present under control. He's got the future under control. So some little pipsqueak is born into this world and decides at some point to be a pagan and a God hater and decides to spend their life going to propagate a false god and immorality, and And folks, we had a pervert in the White House for a pervert. I mean, a man who's dedicated his life to wanting to have pervert men follow these little girls into the bathroom and say to mom and dad, you can't do a thing about it. That guy's a pervert. I mean, a president, a sitting president that will call in for an interview and say, I am for homosexual marriage. I'm for gay marriage. I'm for sodomite marriage. I mean, he's a pervert. Okay, preacher, been alive for 8 years. Listen, I'm sorry, I've read the Bible. You think he's the first one? You think he'll be the last one? You think God's up in heaven going, oh no, I didn't see that. What are we going to do? Okay. I mean, folks, I want to just tell you this. For 30 years, Ahab and Jezebel seemed to get by with their wickedness. I can't assign everybody this, but if you came to me and said, preacher, if you'd have me listen to one sermon one time every year for the rest of my life, what sermon would it be? I'd tell you, you find a copy of Payday Someday, preached by R.G. Lee, Pastor R.G. Lee, and you listen to that. I don't think I listen to it once a year. I think I listen to it about 10 times every year of my life. And if there's one message, if I could get a young evangelist and say, listen, I don't need you to study. I don't need you to come up with a sermon. I need you to listen to this sermon and memorize every word of it and go around the country and preach it. You know what? A guy can make a living out of preaching Payday Someday. And America's never need to hear it worse. Because see, folks, listen to me. You know what? For over 30 years, Ahab and Jezebel seem to get by with their wickedness. But number three, for every Ahab and Jezebel that the devil raises up, God raises up an Elijah and Elisha. Amen. And Elijah was there in the first part of this thing. And he oversaw the death of Ahab. And then he threw his mantle down as he jumped on a chariot of fire and left this earth. And Elisha got to oversee the death of Jezebel. And you know what, folks, as brave and boastful and I mean courageous in their wickedness to try to destroy the God of the universe, guess what? At that same time, God calls and anoints two of the bravest and most courageous prophets you'll ever find in the Bible. How about that? Do you know what that tells me? As wickedness is getting bolder, it's not time for us to get quieter. Are you listening to me? I mean, listen, what preacher, it just seems like the older you get, as every year gets by, the meaner you get, and you ought to be glad. Because they're not backing down. I'm not backing down. They want to get loud about their wickedness. I'm going to get loud about God's righteousness. They want to say, there's nothing wrong with this. I want to open up the King James Holy Bible and say, it's sin. It's an abomination before God. Okay. And this is fascinating because here you have the time period where you have, by God's own definition, by his declaration, the most wicked king and the most wicked king's wife, wicked queen you could ever have. And here comes Elijah. You know what he says? He walks right to the palace right after they started all this nonsense and says, hey, God's got a message. It's not going to rain for 3 years. See ya. They thought, nut. What a nut job. I can't believe, I mean, that old time religion crowd still exists. Guy probably has a King James Bible and goes to those churches that sings Amazing Grace and the old rugged cross and I'll fly away and oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. Why don't we have those songs? We got to find that. I'm going to get that mountain song book. And yeah, come on now. And you know what? Come on. They thought he was a nut job, a nutcase. But guess what? A month passed and, you know, a little bit dry. 3 months and somebody said, didn't that? Oh, he was a nut. Just we're going through a time. It happens from time to time. Then 6 months, then 9 months, then a year. You know what Ahab says? We're going to put a warrant out for the rest. We got to find this preacher. We're going to kill this preacher. Where'd that preacher go? But you know what? God was taking care of the preacher. He took him down and said, just kind of camp out here on the brook. While the rest of the world's suffering over their sin, I'll take care of you and have ravens feed you. And when the brook dries up, you go over here to this widow's house, and you know what? Her and her little boy's getting ready to die, and they've just got a little bit of meal, and you walk on and you tell them, hey, make that for me. And she's going to have the faith to do it. And guess what? For the whole rest of the famine, every time she goes to the meal barrel, there's just enough to make another cake. What do you think about that? Preacher, I'm so worried about what's going to happen when God judges America. Let me tell you what's going to happen. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. Yeah, God's going to judge America. But I'm going to tell you something, Chris. I mean this. The same God that took care of Elijah, same God to take care of that widow is going to take care of those that stand for right. Okay? The best insurance you have, you know, isn't to decide that you're going to become an underground prepper. I'm saying that you ought to use a certain amount of common sense. You've heard me say that. But the best insurance you ought to have for you and your family is love God, serve God, stand up for God. Okay, don't back down. Say, preacher, what's the end of the story here? Well, the end of the story is, by the way, Elijah comes up and calls him out, and Elijah meets him on the mountain and whips him on the mountain, and Elijah anoints Elisha, and there they go. But the end of the story is this. In the end, God always wins. You see, I mean, they were killing God's prophets. I didn't cover all of it. We don't have time. They were killing God's prophets. They're accusing God's man. And then they go and take Naboth's vineyard. You know the story. He covets a vineyard. It just happens to be up against the palace. Tries to buy it. The man says, this is an inheritance. Do you know anything about the Old Testament law? What the Bible says, Ahab? I can't sell my inheritance. This is an inheritance from my father. It goes to my children. It's against the laws of God for me to sell. I can't do it. So he goes and pouts. Remember the story. He goes and pouts. Lays on his bed and pouts. Finally, Jezebel comes in. What's wrong? And, oh, I tried to buy the vineyard. He wouldn't give it to me. And she said, I'll get it for you. And she did. She sent some people down on a celebration day. Interrupted the celebration. Put Naboth on high. What's that mean? Put him in the seat of the accused. They leveled false accusations before anybody could say a word. They grabbed him, and on the king's orders, they killed him, and took possession of that vineyard. And everybody's saying, where's God? How do they keep getting by with that kind of stuff? You felt that way, Christian, sometimes? I read the paper sometimes. I think, come on, God. Where's this end? Well, let me tell you something. Remember, God's where he's always been. He's overseeing the whole thing. You know what? He's seeing what Christians will stand, which ones will cave, what Christians will walk with Elijah up to the top of Mount Carmel, which ones will hide in the cave. You know, he's going to figure some things out about us. He's going to let us figure some things out about ourselves. But let me tell you this, folks. When he did that to Naboth's vineyard and they went down to take possession of it, guess who's waiting in the vineyard for them? Elijah. He said, listen, God knows what you've done. He's seen what you've done. Let me tell you something, Ahab. The dogs are going to lick your blood. And by the way, Jezebel, the dogs will eat you. Turned around. He's gone again. Crazy preacher. Dog's going to lick my blood. Dog's going to eat my wife. You listen to R.G. Lee's sermon. He says, you know what? I don't think for the rest of their life they ever heard a dog bark where they didn't jump. Come on. You know, the nameless, aimless archer took a bow of venture. Just, you know, I'm just going to shoot. And God took that arrow and guided it. Mortal wound. Ahab wasn't even dressed like the king in disguise. But you know what? God knew where he was. And guess what? He fell down and he said, turn, turn, take me back. And they did. And by the time he got there, he was dead. And they said that they were washing out that chariot he was in, and the dogs came and lapped up the blood and the water as it ran out of the chariot. And guess what? God's man delivered God's message, and God showed up just on time. Amen. Jezebel lives another 20 years. 20 years more of wickedness. How does she get by with that? But guess what? God does his little game of dominoes and moves things around. And guess what? We've got a new king, and that king has been given the crown with one order from God. You're supposed to go and take care of Jezebel and wipe out the the entire lineage of Ahab. And you know what he says? If God gave me the crown and the throne, he's told me one thing to do, and I'm going to go do it. And you know what they did? They headed to where she was at, and she was up on the wall, and he pulls in there and tells them, throw that woman down. And they grabbed eunuchs, God's people, still there, by the way, and took that woman and threw her down, and she splattered on that cobblestone pavement below. And you know what? She laid there, and they ran over with the chariot and went in and enjoyed a meal and a drink. And he said, you know what? She was a king's wife and a king's daughter, so we ought to at least go bury her. When they went out to get her, the dogs had come and eat everything except her hands. The filthy hands that wrote that decree that said, go kill Naboth, they're laying there. Dogs didn't even want to eat those. Filthy feet that had walked into Naboth's vineyard and took possession of it. And by the way, folks, God's on the throne. And he's looking at all of us Christians that sometimes are up there going, God, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing. God's like, I've got this thing. I've always had this thing. You know what? Wicked people aren't going to get. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, listen to me. Put your head on your pillow tonight knowing this. God's got this thing. But preacher, I watched Fox News. I know that's your problem. I'd be out of my mind too if I spent all day watching Fox News or any of the other news organizations. Turn the stupid thing off. Okay, God's not watching Fox News to try to figure out what's going to happen next. He's got it under control. And so here we see these two wicked, evil people grow up in these wicked, evil homes, and they find each other, and they said, together we can even do worse, and they did. And it seemed like for a long time they got by with it. But I want you to remind all of you, in the end, God always wins. I think I'll stay on his team. I think I'll just stay on his team. Wasn't it Curtis Hudson that got up when he was dying of cancer and led the entire Sword of the Lord convention into the song, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I mean, why in the world would you want to leave serving God and go give your life to serving an unemployed archangel? He's lost. He's a loser. His whole time is spent trying to enlist people to be on the losing side. And you're going to sign up for that? I think I'll just stand over here with Elijah and Elisha and all of those that have been faithful, not just during Ahab and Jezebel's time, but all through human history. Wicked people have gotten control and gotten power, and it seems like the devil's winning sometimes, and God has never batted an eye, worried a second, felt like he had to start over. Now, you know what he does? He's like, I've got this. I've got this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this night that we can study, Lord, two young people. And despite their upbringing, dear God, they still had to make a choice themselves. And they chose. They chose to disobey the first two Old Testament commandments. They chose to have a God that they would worship before the God of the universe, to create graven images and bow down to. They made those choices. And Lord, Elijah made his choice, and Elisha made his choice, and they got up on top of Mount Carmel, and guess what? The people ended up having to eventually make a choice. Seems like nobody wants to choose a side anymore. If God be God, then serve him. If Baal, then serve him. They answered him not a word. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that we'd walk away from this Bible study with a spirit of encouragement. And Lord, I know it can look bad. And Lord, sometimes I worry because I know it discourages God's people. Lord, we've watched our civilization, our society, we've watched America in the last 5, 6, 7 years turn to a level of debauchery that I don't think any of us could have imagined just 6, 7 years ago. And yet, he's still on the throne. And Lord, may we always keep our trust in you. Our eyes in the book. Pray, dear Lord, we keep our hand on the plow. Lord, we'd be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Encourage your people tonight, we pray in Jesus' name.